doctors and sometimes preachers use the same terminology when speaking with people, but even though they use some of the same words, some of the same expressions, they do not always mean the same things. If you go to a doctor and you're checked out, the doctor might say you have a good heart. Or the doctor might, after some tests, say you have a heart problem. Preachers might make these same statements, but the preacher typically means something very, very different. In the Bible, the word heart is a very important term. The scriptures use this word to describe the innermost part of mankind. When the Bible talks about the heart, it talks about what is at our core. It gets down to the point that is about as deep as we can possibly imagine. The heart is really the center of who we are. As we continue our study in the book of Exodus, tonight we look at Exodus chapter 7 as far as the beginning point. We studied last Sunday night the story about the rod being changed into a serpent. Aaron's rod was changed, and then of course the magician sought to duplicate this feat, this trick. And in the process of this event, Exodus 7 verse 13 says, Pharaoh's heart, there's that key word, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It's interesting that God pays specific attention to the inward part of this ruler. Now there are a lot of passages in the Old Testament as well as the New that deal with the word heart. In fact, we could spend several weeks, several months, maybe even a year to study out what the Bible says about the word heart. But tonight, since we want to deal with this topic just one time, because we've introduced it in Exodus 7, I want to flip forward to the book of Proverbs to make an easy study. And this evening, go through several passages in the book of Proverbs which talk about the heart. As Solomon, this wise man, wrote, he spent a lot of time on talking about the heart. He knew that it's an important part. I plan to start with Proverbs 2, and then we'll conclude, Lord willing, with Proverbs 23. In Proverbs 2, verse 10, the first passage to be read, this wise man said, it is desirable, it's good, to have wisdom put into our heart. Proverbs 2:10 says, for wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. There are in this verse at least two things that are worthy of attention. First of all, Solomon said that it's good for wisdom to enter into, to come into the heart. Our spiritual heart is a bit like the mouth. We control what goes into it. If a person has a bad heart, if that heart is defective as far as God's standard is concerned, if it's corrupt, it's because what people have allowed their heart to experience. People use their free will to put things in their mouth, and they use their free will to let things go into the heart. Pharaoh had a hard heart. Why was that the case? It was because he allowed bad things. He used his free will to let evil things come into his heart and corrupt him. A miracle forced this man to make a decision. Are you going to open your heart and accept what's right? Are you going to close your heart? Are you going to harden your heart? And that miracle led to Pharaoh hardening his heart. As we go through life, like Pharaoh, we're going to control what comes into our life, into our heart. Each one of us is given the opportunity every single day, oftentimes several times in a day, to decide whether we're going to let good things come into our heart or whether we're going to let evil things come into our heart. If we let the wrong things come in, things like the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, then that heart is going to be corrupted. Now, this is an important point for all people, and it's an especially important point for our young people. When we think about the heart, this special part of mankind that God has given each one of us, in the early years, that heart is tender. It's pliable. In those formative years, that heart is in the process of forming. The devil is out there in the world, and he wants to fill that heart with evil things. The devil wants to corrupt that heart with sin, and he wants to not only turn it away from God, he wants to turn it away from God forever. The wise man says in Proverbs 2, verse 10, you open up your heart. You say to God in his word, I'm going to let the good things flow into my heart, into my mind. And we need to do that. In the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we find something else about the word heart. One of the things that as we let our heart be opened and we let things in or we try to keep things out, we try to screen some things out, the Bible says our heart is going to at various times involve trust. He says in that fifth verse, trust in Jehovah with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. Our heart, in the biblical sense of the word, is something that trusts in someone or something. And in some cases, it trusts in multiple people or in multiple things. But deep down, if we were to, as they sometimes say in the business world, drill down and look at where our heart is, we'd find that we do trust in some people. We do trust in some things. The trust may be in a mother, brother, father, sister. It may be in our spouse. is, as far as things go, our trust may be in the company that we work at. It may be in the neighborhood where we live. It may be in our government. Someone says, well, my trust is in my government Social Security check. Well, for now, that may work out okay. But there may come a time where that does not work out too well. Our heart might feel secure because of our personal strength, because of our personal skills, because of our intellect, or something else. As we look at our heart, it is a place of trust. But as we think about the trust part of the heart, oftentimes people allow themselves to trust in the wrong things and even the wrong people. Those who are familiar with the Bible will, I think, recall a familiar passage from the Old Testament. It's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful." Well, that's a pretty important statement, but then he went on to modify it. He says, out of all things, the heart is deceitful above all things. Many have allowed their hearts to trust in material things like wealth. That's a bad choice. In fact, in Luke 12, Jesus said to a man who allowed his heart to trust in wealth, "Thou fool." Others have sunk all or most of the trust into another human being. We may have known someone who said, "I put all my trust in him. I put all my trust in her." And maybe it was a loved one, maybe it was a father, maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a brother or a sister or a close relative. And they said, "My trust has been shattered. My life has been destroyed because I trusted in this individual and he or she let me down." The ultimate, the perfect place when it comes to the heart and trust is God. Trust in Jehovah with how much of your heart? Well, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in God with all your heart. Now, I suspect I can't look into the hearts of people. Sometimes we get some indications as far as what's in the heart of someone. But I suspect that as we look at our lives, and sometimes even in the church, we'll find out in the world certainly, but sometimes even in the church, there's some people who have about 10% of trust when it comes to their heart and God. The other 90% of trust in their heart is based on someone, something, and that's not a good way to live. If our heart learns to truly trust in God, if we can take that innermost part and we can say, "God, we're going to do our best to trust you 100%, we begin to eliminate things like fear. There are some great benefits as far as the heart being conditioned and tuned to the right things. Now, it's difficult to always put our full faith and trust in God. When things are going easy and there are not many challenges in life, oh, we trust in God, no big deal. But you let that first crisis come up. You go to the doctor and hear cancer. You show up at the workplace, no job, the factory's closing. You hear that you just lost a child in an automobile accident. The police officer comes knocking on the door. Trust in God how much? All your heart. Whatever the circumstances are, 100%. And that's difficult. It was even difficult for the apostles. Think about Peter. He's out there, he's walking on the water. What happens with him? There was a time where he lost. That trust was significantly reduced. But God says, you learn to trust in me and you work on maintaining that trust when it comes to that special place of your heart all the time. As human beings, we can do a good job. From time to time, we can leave a Sunday assembly, we can come away from a Bible class, or we can read part of God's Word, and we can think, I'm trusting in God with all my heart, and things are going so well. But we can also be fickle. There can be some times where we get off track as far as the trust in our heart, and God's Word has a warning about it. If you're following along in the book of Proverbs, let's slip over to the next chapter. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, and see what we have in verse 23. Here the writer uses the word all. He says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health," oh, that's 22, so continue to read, "find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart." And then he says, "with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The writer says here, when it comes to the heart, that special part that each one of us has, the writer says that this part of our being needs constant maintenance. God knows that when it comes to our heart, it's possible for this part of humanity to begin to let things slip. We can let bad things slip in. We might have some good things in the heart, and we allow them to slip out. But God says, you need to watch your heart. Once again, it's easy to do that when times are good. But when times become challenging, we may not always maintain the heart very well. I think it would be interesting if we had an assembly. And as people began to come in from the parking lot or maybe from another part of the building, each one was given a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, each one was asked to answer a simple question. As you look at your life, what thing or what things do you seek to offer constant attention to as you go through your daily life? What's the thing that you spend time on making sure that it's intact? Some people will say, well, for me, that's my car. Or another person might say, for me, that's my kitchen. I always want it to be nice. I don't like a cluttered kitchen. Or I always like the bathroom to be clean. Or always like my room to be clean. Where do we spend our attention as far as maintaining things in life? If we were to give that piece of paper out to every person in an average congregation, how many of the people who would fill out that piece of paper do we think would say, I work to maintain my heart? I suspect maybe 10% of the group, possibly 25. But for most people, when it comes to the heart, they seem to somehow have the attitude, we're just going to put it on autopilot. Yes, we've got that part of the being, and yes, the Bible has some things to say about it, but we really don't have to maintain it. That's not the point in Proverbs 4, verse 23. This writer says you maintain the heart. You look at it, you guard it, you protect it, you keep it. Why? Because out of it comes the issues of life. Your life is going to be guided by the heart. Your life is going to be directed by the heart. If you allow your heart to become corrupted, if you allow it to be defiled, you're going to be off track. There is no way to live a successful Christian life for God and not pay the right amount of attention to the heart. It's something that needs ongoing maintenance for every single person. Imagine trying to navigate to a certain area and we have a compass which does not point north. I don't want to be on the trip with you. Well, imagine the person who says, we're going to go to heaven and we're not concerned about our heart. You have a problem. And chances are you're not going to make it because the thing that directs your life, it's out of whack. It's pointing in the wrong direction. We've got to maintain the heart. That's why, remember Jesus' point in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the pure in heart. What's the blessing? You're going to see God. You're going to have fellowship with God if the heart is in the right place and doing the right kinds of things. When people do not properly maintain the heart, the spiritual part of their being is going to suffer. People eventually sow what is in their spiritual part. An example of this, and I'm not going to read it, is found a couple chapters later, Proverbs 6. If you were to look at Proverbs 6, you'll find the same point in verses 14 and 18. But in verse 14, the writer specifically talks about a perverse heart. Hearts are shaped by what people put into them. In this particular case, if we sow sin, that heart is going to end up being perverse. It's going to be ruined. Hearts can be changed by conversion. The Bible teaches that. The Bible encourages folks to change their hearts. But you know, once that heart gets set, especially in the early years, it's awfully hard sometimes to go back and reshape it. Sometimes some things have to be broken up. Old Testament prophets talked about the fallow ground. It's hard ground. Got to go out there and you've got to till it up. Well, sometimes that's true as far as the lives of people. When folks allow their hearts to be corrupted, they can become troublemakers and involved with other evils. Proverbs 6, verses 14 and 18. So the heart, as far as its guidance, as far as its directions, it's an interesting part of who we are. But it's also one of the most powerful parts of who we are. Much of what drives us in life, as we heard from Proverbs 4, is going to be what flows from the heart. And that's why Jesus talked about this point as he deals with the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, he gave a point which is very similar to what we find in Proverbs 6, verse 25. Now, as you look at this passage, and I'm going to read this text as well, he says here, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Solomon talked about lust. Well, the Bible has some things to say about this topic, but as he talks about lust, here he joins it with the heart. Do we remember how Jesus did the same thing in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 28? He talked about lusting after a woman. But then he said, you lust where? In the heart. In the core, in the deepest part of who we are. Lust is a common part of our culture, and the Lord associated with it, the heart. Today, we see the lust in the heart with things like pornography. Within the last couple of weeks, you may have seen the article that was published. I thought it was a fascinating article. Online porn has become so popular that the military, at least a couple of the branches, have decided that they are no longer going to sell it as far as online stores. There's a big demand for it, but people have decided, well, why pay for it down there at the base exchange when we can get it online for free? Lust is a problem for people. It is a problem for males, and though we don't emphasize this as often, it's also true. Women are not exempt from lust. Women can see images, and he is hot. Look at him. What a set of abs. We hear those things. Women are subject to these same kinds of things, and it's a problem of the heart when it occurs. Modesty is not really the point in Proverbs 6, verse 25, but it's not a stretch. It's not a big jump to connect this verse with modesty. Imagine a woman, or we could say a man, but imagine a woman who dresses in such a way where by her dress, by her attire, she incites lust in the heart of another person. Imagine acting in such a way where we sow evil seeds in the thoughts, in the hearts of another human being. will God hold? A person who is sowing evil thoughts and evil seeds in the heart of another individual. If people are dressing in such a way, where lust is incited in another individual, will God hold them guiltless? Surely not. When we understand what the heart is, when we begin to see just how important it is that the issues of life come from the heart, we're going to be not only concerned about our heart, but we're going to be concerned about the heart of this person. Or we're going to be concerned about the heart of that person, because we do not want to create a situation where that person stumbles because of us. A passage related to modesty and heart is found a few verses later. Now, if you're still following along, let's take a look at what we find in Proverbs 7, verse 10. Interesting verse as far as the heart. And behold, there met with him a woman with the attire, with the clothing of a harlot, and she was wily of heart. Now, imagine a woman who dresses in such a way where she incites lust in the heart of another individual. Here, as the writer talks about this kind of thing, he refers to the attire of a harlot. Or we might say the clothing of a prostitute if we want to modernize the language just a bit. As the writer talks about the situation, he says, this female has a wily heart. If you were to look at this on your own, I don't know if this question might come up or not, but imagine as you look at this verse, what Christian woman do you know that wants to dress like a prostitute? What Christian woman wants to dress like a harlot? I think of that question, we're thrown out in an average congregation. Well, we don't have anybody here. We don't have anybody here that wants to dress like a lady of the evening. Solomon said, an immoral woman who has a heart that is a sly heart. She reasons, and this is a little bit of a paraphrase, but she reasons in this way. I'm going to show off what I have. These are my assets as far as my body parts that I can make a big impression with, and I'm going to let people see what I have. I'm going to dress in a seductive way. If someone has a problem with how I look, it's their problem, not mine. Ever hear that? I have. Sometimes there are some Christians who reason in this way. But you know, the Bible says there is a heart. There is a mindset at the core of a person. Oh, in this case, a woman with a wily heart. And with that wily heart, she says, I'm going to dress in this seductive, I'm going to dress in this provocative way. The Bible says there's a heart problem there. And that makes sense to us. Christian men and Christian women need to think about dress and some other things in terms of the heart. How people dress, and really we would say how they act in a lot of ways, is an indication of the heart. You may remember, and I didn't put this passage down tonight because like I say, you start going off kilter and you can tie in all kinds of things. But Jesus said, from the heart comes. And he had a whole list of sins. He knew about the heart. It's the place where good things flow from. It's the place where evil things flow from. Foolish people, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5, they are admonished to have an understanding heart. Solomon came along and said, if you're headed on the right road, wise up. Get an understanding heart. God's people should have that kind of heart, so they should not need that kind of admonishment, but sometimes they do. There are times when people can let their hearts be guided by rather than God's word, their own ideas, their own traditions, and their own beliefs. And that can be a frustrating thing for parents, for preachers, for elders, and others, but it's not surprising. Proverbs 12, verse 20. As we move a little more deeply into this book, the Bible there refers to the deceit in the hearts of people. Well, we know the heart can be deceitful. We've already looked at Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. So this is an area of life where we can easily be led astray. The devil wants to destroy the good hearts of people. Throughout time, there have been a lot of people who have been unwilling to really sit down and take a close, a careful look at their heart. Some may be afraid to look at their heart because they know that if they kind of pull back the curtain and they check out what's there, they're going to be ashamed. And they don't want to be ashamed. Others may not want to look deeply inside themselves because they're afraid of what they're going to find. They suspect that there's some ugliness there, some sin there. So let's just keep that covered up and let's not look at it. If we're not willing to check our hearts and fix things, God says a day's coming where he's going to uncover the heart. A day's coming where God says, I'm going to lay it bare. And the kind of heart that you had, the kind of heart that you created, God says, we're going to look at it. And if our heart was not in a right relationship with God, if we were not putting the right things in, God says, it's going to be clear. There's not going to be any way to hide it. We cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by our heart. Heart sometimes wants to do that, but we've got to have the courage to say, let's look at this honestly and see what the heart is like. If our hearts are not right with and before God, How can we possibly hope to help others right their hearts when it comes to God and spiritual things? The heart can be a scary place because there are so many things that can be in it. Proverbs 14, verse 10 says, bitterness may be rooted in the heart. I've seen some people who are consumed. They're absolutely driven by bitterness. Bitterness is the thing that fuels their life. Bitterness is the thing that touches almost everything that they do in life. Proverbs 14, verse 13, three verses later, the Bible says some hearts are filled with sorrow. We've probably seen some people that way. Every time we see them, they're mourning, they're sad, they're downcast, they're depressed. Proverbs 15, 13. Cheerfulness can be a big part of the heart. I see some people who are cheerful. Their house may have burned down, but they're cheerful. And they may have smacked a tree on the way in, but they're still cheerful. Things were not as bad as they could have been. Our heart may be overflowing with joy. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. There's a preacher, he's probably one of the finest preachers that has walked the face of the planet within the last 100, 150 years. And every time you see this guy, even if you don't know him, he oozes joy. That's the best way I know how to describe it. He's a joy oozer. And there are some people, you just see that in the heart, and it just naturally flows from them. Pride can fill the heart, Proverbs 16, verse 5. We find some haughty people in life. Every time you hear them speak, I, me, my. Well, that's how it works. The Bible even says our heart can be full of fretfulness. Now, that's unusual, but it says that, Proverbs 19, verse 3. And then Proverbs 23, verse 17, and this is an ugly one. The Bible here says that our heart is capable of being fueled by envy. There's some people who are always envious of others. What others have, what others have done, the children of others, the house that others have, the toys of this life and so forth. You know, when we look at life, a lot of times people are very concerned about their physical bodies. As we think about kind of starting at the head, some people are concerned about their hair falling out. Oh boy, am I going to need a wig? There's some other people, as they look at their hair, they're concerned that their hair is turning a different color. I don't want my hair to turn that color. There's some other people, they are concerned about a loss of hearing. Other people, as they look at their eyesight, and as the years go by, eyesight generally changes, and sometimes people are concerned that they're not going to see as well, maybe they'll go blind. We might be concerned over some lost strength. The person says, I'm no longer able to do what I could do 25 years ago. It's harder for me to get up and do things. It's just more and more difficult for these basic tasks. There's increased difficulty with movement. But you know, out of all the things that we should be worried about when it comes to the body, it's the one thing that's not really an organ. It's the heart. In the biblical sense of the word. If our heart is not right with God, we're not right with God. And there are so many choices, as we see from the book of Proverbs, when it comes to the heart. All kinds of choices. And God says, out of the big menu, the good things, the bad things, you get to decide what your heart is going to be like. That's an awesome responsibility. And it's a responsibility that each one has to step up and account for. Tonight, we hope that with your heart, you've made the right choices. With your heart, when it comes to belief or unbelief, you've chosen faith. And with that faith, your heart had to choose when it came to repentance. You can either be like Pharaoh and you can stay stubborn in your state, or you can open your heart and say, God, even though it's not always easy, I'm going to live according to your will. I'm going to allow my heart to be molded by your life. And it's a heart, rather than confessing self as Lord, we confess Christ as Lord. And then finally, the heart shows obedience. It shows submission by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Once we've done that, then every single day we do our best to open our heart to God and say, we're going to follow you regardless of the cross. Our invitation song is not, is thy heart right with God? But that's the song that we should be thinking of, at least the words. Is our heart right with God? If it's not, there's never going to be a better time than now to say, I'm ready to change it. And Lord, here I come. Let's make that decision if it's appropriate for us as we stand and sing the selected song.